Friend. Well, my name is Rick. I'm the lead pastor here, and we are so glad that you have joined us here today, for those of you who are guests. And we are in this teaching series. It's called Don't Waste Your Life. And the reason why we are teaching through this and have been in this and going to continue to be in this idea for the next several weeks is because we know that no matter where you are in life, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, no matter if you even believe in God or not, that no one wants to wake up one day and say, what a waste, you know, of your life. No one wants to do that. And so we want to be proactive about that around here, and we want to talk about it. And today we're talking about this biblical principle of don't waste your life continuing to fall into the same temptation over and over again. You know, because stop and think about this. Stop and think about that ball and chain that is so many times attaches itself to us as Christ followers. And how it holds us back. You know, that temptation that we continue to fall into time and time again. And what happens is it keeps us from developing into the person of God that He's calling you to be. It keeps you from developing into that husband, that wife. It keeps you from being that student at your high school or your college campus. When we continue to fall into that time and time again, it keeps us from being the very person that God has created you to be. Have you ever worked with that guy? You know, have you ever went to work and maybe you're new on the job, but there's this guy or this woman there, and they are continually talking about their 20 years of experience. You know, they're talking about all about their experience and you know how, you know, awesome they are because I've got 20 years, and they keep on bringing up how long they've been doing something, right? And you start working with them, and after a little while, you realize that they've got about a year's worth of experience repeated about 19 times, 19 for 19 years, right? You know that person, right? You know what? This is the same thing is true in our temptations that we fall into. The same thing is true. Because that person who's like that, they've taken that 1 year of experience and never developed past it. They've never developed that job or that person that they could become. They could become better. And the same thing is true with us. We fall into these temptations time and time again, and we're not developing into the person of God that He's called us to be, because God, it wants us to develop our character and who we are. And that's why we're in Matthew chapter 4. So take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. And if you are here and you don't have a Bible, if you went to guest services, they'd be happy to give you a Bible. And if you have a smartphone, you go to your app store. We'd love for you to download the YouVersion app. The YouVersion app is so helpful. You'll always have your Bible if you have your phone. So go to Matthew chapter 4. Last week we made this turn. We went from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We're looking at the early life of Jesus, and we're going to be looking at the early life of Jesus for the next several weeks. And here today in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to look at the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by Satan himself. So what we're going to do is read through this story, and we'll just unpack these verses as we go through. So let's read verses 1 and 2, Matthew chapter 4, it says, "And then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry." All right, hey, let's just remember where this is coming up at. This whole, "and then Jesus was led." Well, what happened before the then? It's what we talked about last week. It was that John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and like points at him and says, "Lord, behold the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world." And then John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, right? And then there's like this big voice from heaven that comes down and is like, "This is my dearly loved Son, and He brings me great joy." We talked about that last week. And then notice what happens. It's like this big announcement, this big mountaintop experience, if you will. All this very celebratory. But then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So many times Christ followers don't think. They don't think that Jesus is in the wilderness. They don't think, we don't think that God, how could God possibly be here? Everything is going wrong in your wilderness. And a lot of times Christ followers think that. But I want you to notice that Jesus himself was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. It's not always going to be a mountaintop experience. A lot of people think that, oh, if I just give my life to God, then everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be perfect. And that's not true. It's not true for Jesus. He gets a mountaintop experience, and then all of a sudden led into the wilderness. And Jesus is there, even in the wilderness. And maybe you feel like Jesus isn't in the wilderness, but he is there. In fact, you have been led there by the Spirit of God. And there's a reason for it. He's tempted. Jesus is tempted. This idea of temptation, it means a testing. It can be in a good sense or it can be in a bad sense. So temptation is a testing, and it can be good or bad. It's a testing can reveal or develop character as well as solicit for evil. So, I want you to think about this. If you haven't flown on Southwest, right? I tend to fly on Southwest when I fly. And every time, whatever airplane you fly on, if you fly on a Boeing 787, I'm sitting there, and my mind does this to me every time. I look out the window, and I watch these wings. Have you ever watched the wings whenever you hit some turbulence? And man, they start doing this, don't they? And I'm just waiting for the rivets to start popping and the sheet metal to start flying off. I mean, sometimes you hit them so hard and it looks like they're flapping their wings, right? Or waving hi to everybody. It's kind of scary. And my mind just goes to all these crazy places. Well, I am so thankful that I did just a little bit of research to find out in their manufacturing company, they are rigorously tested. They're rigorously tested to make sure, they're tested at 1.5 times of what they will ever experience in the air, so that these wings on a 787, their wings will actually almost bend 90%. Almost 90% angle. I've never seen the wing go 90%. Thank you, Jesus. Please don't let me ever experience that, right? But that's how they're tested. Why? They test them like that to make sure they're going to withstand all that's ever going to come at them. And they test them at 1.5 times of what they'll ever run into in the air. I sure am glad for that. And you know what? God is walking you through some trials and temptations or testings because he is trying to develop in you the character of God. He's trying to reveal his character in your situation. He's putting you through some testings. So, it says, during that time, what time? Remember, during these 40 days of Jesus fasting. Now, I don't know about you, but when the doctor says, hey, you need to fast overnight and don't eat anything before you come in the morning so that you can take this test. I don't eat late at night, but all of a sudden I'm like starving Marvin at night. I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm so hungry. Well, I never do that unless I'm supposed to fast, right? Well, here Jesus, we know that he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. It's like the understatement of the year. It says he was very hungry, right? Of course he's hungry. Have you ever fasted? Some of you maybe fast a meal, right? You'll pray through a meal, you'll skip your meal, and instead you'll pray through that. And have you noticed at 9:30 in the morning how hungry you are? Yeah, that just happens. Well, watch what happens. Satan comes at that time because Satan knows when to come. And he came and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. You see, what Satan does is gets us to focus on the physical. He gets our minds to focus on the physical. And he's like, oh, Jesus, you've got the power. You could turn these stones right into bread and eat it. And look what Jesus' reply is back to that. But Jesus said, no, the scriptures say that people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, Jesus immediately points out that life is so much bigger than just the physical. There's a spiritual realm to your world. And every decision that you make has a spiritual implication. I wonder if the temptation that you continue to fall into time and time again hasn't to do with more of the physical. You know, some people put so much time and effort, energy into that mirror and what they see, the reflection, right? You know, the physical side of things. And again, there's nothing wrong with making sure every day you should take a shower and wash your hair and brush your teeth, right? And wear clean clothes. I'm not saying anything like that. You should go to the gym. You should work out and maybe not drink so much Coke, but if that's your temptation. But but when we put all of our focus in on the physical, and we forget that God says He looks at the heart. We forget that every decision that we make has a spiritual implication. When we put so much time, so much focus on our job and our career, on the physical side of things, making sure we make all of our decisions based on the money side of things. When it's all that we do to live for the next biggest and greatest vacation that we can take, when that consumes your life, you are falling into this temptation, forgetting about the spiritual side of things. Asking, whoa, could I invest my time, could I invest my money in things that have spiritual impact, that will have eternal value, not just physical? And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying vacations are wrong and making sure that you're a good steward with your money. All those things, we need to do that. But when that consumes your life, then we're falling into a temptation time and time again. And that's what I'm saying. So that didn't work for Jesus, right? Satan didn't get him there. So here's what happens. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. Hey, can we realize this? Can we see this here? That temptation doesn't always happen downtown. Temptation doesn't always happen in the dark secret corners someplace. Notice that he's taking him to the holy city. He's taking him to Jerusalem. He takes him into the temple. He takes him into the church. You can be tempted right where you are because temptation is a mind and heart issue. You don't have to be in some certain place to fall into temptation time and time again. Temptation has no borders. It can creep into our life at any time, at any place. And we have to be on guard for this. Here, he's like, show them who you really are. If you jump off, right? He goes on to say, and then, you know, because Jesus quoted some scripture, now Satan's like, hey, I'm going to throw one at you. Psalms 91. He says, hey, he will order his angels to protect you. And they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You know, show us the big show. Give us a big miracle. And then everybody will believe in who you are. This temptation that we have a lot of times. The temptation of God, if you're really God, then you got to do this. God, if you are really God, then you're going to show up in this way. And that's not what he's doing here. In fact, notice what he says. Jesus' reply to this temptation is this. The scriptures say, you must not test the Lord your God. You see, a lot of people, what he's doing here, by the way, he's quoting, he goes back to Exodus chapter 17. And there in Exodus chapter 17, the people of God are led by Moses out into the wilderness. And when they're out there, and they've done everything that God has told them to do, and now they start complaining because they run out of water. And they're complaining to Moses, and then they get really angry, and they start complaining to God. And then when they complain to God, they start demanding their rights. They start demanding. You read it in Exodus chapter 17. It says they demanded from God water. They thought if I put in the right amount of money, they thought if I typed the right code in, that out would come a response. They're testing God. It wasn't about their faith. It wasn't about obedience at all to them. It was, we deserve this. And this may be hard to hear, but we don't deserve anything from God. He already has given us everything that we could ever want through His grace, through His mercy, through Him laying down His life for His very people that He loves. And here, Jesus' reply is don't test the Lord your God. Well, that didn't work either. So Satan keeps on trying. And here's what he does next. He says next. Now, don't forget, you know, he's out there for 40 days, right? We don't know how long Satan was out there with Jesus. We don't know if this was 3 days. We don't know if it was all happened in 1 day, if it was 3 weeks. We have no idea. But it was definitely a process. It was a time. So now next, Satan took Jesus to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And here's what he says. He says, I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Now, let's reflect and stop and pause and think about for a moment the reason Jesus came. The reason Jesus came was to bring the kingdom of heaven here to earth and to point people back to God, to give God all the glory. And here now, Satan is offering, hey, here's a shortcut. Here's a shortcut. You know what? You can get to your end goal quicker if you'll just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Because we know that the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4 that he is the God of this world. We know that Ephesians chapter 2 verse number 2 also says that Satan is the spirit that controls this world. So we know that Satan is talking about something that he has the power to do within himself, to give over to Jesus the kingdom and all of this glory, if he would just bow down, if he would just take the shortcut. You know, so many times Jesus is seen as the suffering servant. He was prophesied as the suffering servant, this servant from God who was going to have to come and suffer. This points out his humanity. Jesus was fully human when he was here on earth. We already read it for 40 days, right? And he was very hungry. You go one night like I do, and I'm very hungry, right? He went 40 days. He was very hungry. It points out his humanity. He had emotions and feelings just like you and I do. He didn't have superpowers. He didn't jump off that temple because he had some kind of superpowers, right? He wasn't going to fall into that. He was like, no. And when Satan quoted that verse from Psalms 91, it wasn't like Jesus was like, oh yeah, you know, that's true. No. You go jump off the roof and see what happens. You know, you're going to break your legs. You're going to break your knees. You know, your bones are going to shove up into your body. It's going to hurt. Some angel isn't going to appear out of nowhere and just like, poof, you know. No, anybody can take scripture and quote it out of context, right? Cults do this all the time. We have to understand the bigger picture here. And Jesus understands that there's something bigger here that's going on. And Jesus is like, there is no shortcut through this. There is no shortcut through the development of the character that God is trying to reveal in and who Jesus is. There is no shortcut in your life. We look for shortcuts. I look for shortcuts. Come on, it's human nature. We think about, hey, what's the fastest way I can get to this result, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes when we try and take a shortcut, then we miss out on the development of the process. And this is true in our spiritual life. When we think that we can just leap over some kind of testing in our life, when God says, no, you need to go through this, you need me to allow me to come in and develop in you what it is that's missing so that you can become that man of God, so that you can become that woman of God, so you can become that student of God, the person that God has called you to be. Notice Jesus' response, and this is like emphatic in the Greek. He's like, get out of here, Satan. He's like, I mean, this is like, he's like emotional about this. He says this with passion. Get out of here, Satan. For the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Anytime we fall into this temptation, anytime we allow our life to be consumed by anything but God, we have bowed our knee to worship something else. If you look at how you spend your time, if you look at your calendar, if you look at the way that you spend your money, that is a great indicator of how you worship. It is. as we reflect and as we stop and we think about our life, as we think about the way, because many people will look at their schedule and say, well, I spend 90% of my time at work. Okay. But you know, you can even go to work and that can be worship. Because it's a matter of heart. It's a matter of mind. It's a matter of your mindset when you go there. So, do you use your time? Do you spend your money in a way that shows that it is all worshipful? Because that's what God is calling us for. The Apostle Paul was nervous about this for Christ followers. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. He says, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. And then he points back to Eve. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. He points back all the way to the Genesis story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And do you know that this very temptation that we just read mirrors the Genesis story in the garden? Satan shows up and tries to appeal to the physical and points out this tree that they've been forbidden to eat from. And he's pointing out all how awesome it is, how beautiful it is. Eve replies back. And don't forget Adam's standing around. If you read it, you'll see that. Adam's there. And he's not saying anything, like some husbands don't like to do sometimes. But he's just standing there. And his wife is like, God says we can't eat of that because we'll surely die. So there's that part, every decision we make has a spiritual implication. But then Satan goes on to talk them out of, no, you won't surely die. You know what's going to happen? You're going to become like God. Ooh. What? Yeah, you're going to become as smart as God. You're going to have His kind of wisdom. You're going to be as powerful as Him. And then they both eat of that fruit. Why? Because now all of a sudden they put their selfish desires in the place of the worship of God. And they worshiped themselves. They worshiped the desires that were within themselves over the worship of God. And Paul says, be careful somehow that you're pure. I know that your heart is, your motives are pure and undivided now, but watch out. Because the tempter is there. You know, the word Satan there means that he's the accuser. He is the one who will come. And he tries to do this to us all the time, trying to trip us up. And this is why today that we're focused on don't waste your life, continuing to fall into the same temptations over and over again. So here's what we need to do. We need to learn the lessons that God is trying to develop in you. Will you do that every time that you find yourself being tempted? And by the way, let me say this. Being tempted isn't the sin. As we saw, Jesus was tempted, right? So being tempted isn't the sin. It's when you fall into the temptation. That's when it becomes a sin. And how do we stop by falling into it time and time again? Learn the lesson that God's trying to teach you. And then stay focused on God's word and not feelings. Stay focused on anchor yourself to God's word. Don't let yourself be driven by emotion. Does God speak through emotion? Absolutely. Did He give you and create those feelings and emotions in you? Absolutely. But can we be driven? Can we be led by those? Not if it contradicts God's word. We always have to anchor ourselves in God's word. And then, can I just say this? Can we fight for a life of worship? I mean, will you fight for a life of worship? This is no one's default setting in their life, right? Our natural bent is our sinful nature, and it wants to lead away. It wants to worship the things that we love. You notice that we never talk about temptation in the sense, oh, I was tempted to be too generous. I was tempted to go tell that person about Jesus, you know? We never say it that way. Whenever we, temptations always has to do with this self of feeding our selfish desires. Right? Temptation, when we use it, it's always in this bad sense that we're tempted always to do wrong, to feed the selfishness that's going on here. And I'm telling you, our own selfishness does not want to worship God. We have to fight for a life of worship, and it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week fight. Don't stop fighting for worship, for a life of worship. Will you take out your connection cards? Because on your connection cards, there are some next steps that I want to walk you through. The very first one says, pray for me. I have never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And today, I make a commitment to putting my faith in Jesus Christ. You know, this is your first act of worship. This, if you haven't yet done this, this is the very first act of worship to God that you could do, is to come to Him and commit to Him and say, you are God. This is what you could do here this morning. Your life could be forever changed. And I wonder, if you'll do that today, if you haven't, if you put your name and your phone number on there, we will celebrate that with you. We have some more materials we want to give you. We want to follow up with you. So if that's where you are, please put your name and your phone number on there so that we can give you a call. Then this next step, it says, I am continually falling into the same temptations, and it's a vicious cycle in my life. Pray I will break this cycle and be set free from its bondage. Maybe that is you here this morning. Maybe you are here and you continually find yourself falling into the same temptation time and time and time again. There's hope for you. You don't have to live life like that. God wants to teach you. He wants you to learn the lesson that you so that you don't do that on a continually basis. And we want to pray. We want to pray for you that God, that this week, if you let us know how, and if you want to get specific there, that's great. We'll pray in very specific ways for you as our staff gathers this week to pray. But we're going to be praying that God is going to set you free. Free from that bondage. Free from continually falling into the same temptation time and time again. Will you stand with me? Father, we come to you this morning. And we give our life back to you. And Jesus, we want to learn these lessons that you're trying to teach us. We don't want to continually fall into the same temptation time and time again. So Jesus, show us. Show us the lesson that you are trying to teach us. Reveal in us the weakness in our character that you're trying to develop, and then may we develop it by the Holy Spirit of God's power. And then, Father, we're praying that you will set people free today. That this ball and chain, and they drag it around with them. God, I pray that this would be the start of being set free. And that people could live their lives and develop into the men and women and the students of God that you are calling them to be, so they don't continually fall into the same thing over and over and over again. Set us free. And we need your help. We can't do this. And that's why we're going to sing to you, Jesus. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. And so I'm asking you this morning, will you sing this song as a prayer to God, telling Him that you need Him?